Like to welcome all of you to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir for our Sunday festival. Especially would like to mention that all of you have come braving the rough rainy season weather and also the heavy traffic due to the Ganesha immersion today. So really appreciate your presence here. Today is Ananta Chaturdashi for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that supremely important and auspicious tithi when Namacharya Haridas Thakur entered into the Nitya Leela of the Lord. So in our discussion today, we shall try to see some of the important glimpses of the life of Namacharya Haridas Thakur. In my childhood, I used to read one popular children's magazine which had ghosts, demons, supernatural beings, magic, wizards. And then, this is from South India, and then came a North Indian challenge in the form of a publication. Their specific declaration was these kind of stories unnecessarily put children in a make-believe world. Children believe in magic wands and flying sorcerers. Not sorcerers, but flying sorcerers, flying magicians. And they don't happen. That's not real life. So the North Indian one continued to say that we would like to emphasize good behavior. We would like to teach children values, the virtues of a good life. Be good, do good, don't tell lies, don't steal. But somehow, the magic of the wand, the magic of wizardry, it still continues to hold sway. One of the most popular authors, or authoress, to be politically correct, and the richest one, is a lady who has written a book or series of books about an orphan who is a wizard. And whether he makes his money or he made a lot of money by his magic or not, she did. She is one of the richest authors alive, her wealth rivaling that of the queen of her country. So the boy wizard tries to leave the world of the non-wizards and goes in the magical kingdom, only to find rivalry, jealousy, envy, practically no difference from the non-magical world. One day I was discussing something with a person interested in animation and graphics, and somehow, I don't know if that is the notion here, but many devotees feel it is high time that ISKCON makes its own animation Mahabharat. Animation is the only way in which you can show, you can do justice to Vyasadeva's narration of what happened. You can't show everything with live characters. Or the Ramayana, for example. Just one demon there, Kabanda, he has arms which are 8 miles long, and he has only one eye and only a big stomach. And then he flies, or he can eat whatever he wants. Only when Ram and Lakshman lop off his arms, that he understands, now my curse is over. He was a celestial being, cursed to stay like that. And it is surprising that some of the books which are famous, their authors are basically scholars of mythology. They read practically the mythology of every region, every book available. And then what they do is they cut and paste something from Norse mythology, something from Tahitian mythology, something from South Indian mythology, and they make another story. This desire for doing something magical is within us. We can't escape it. Although people may criticize it, we are still mesmerized. Prabhupada gave a simple example. If someone told there is a circus nearby and one man, he barks exactly like a dog. In fact, if you close your eyes, you may not be able to understand whether it's a dog or a man. I'm sure we may not go there to buy a ticket and see it, but at least we'll inquire, is it so, really? The Greeks had long stories of superheroes who could do anything. In fact, Western scholars, when they evaluate Ramayana and Mahabharata, they evaluate with the yardstick of the Iliad and the Odyssey of the Greek literature. The Mahabharata is described as much bigger than the Iliad and Odyssey put together. And that's how modern educated man feels, oh, that means it must be really big. But one defect, if it can be called, is that in these man-made entertaining stories, the good is good and the bad is bad and no one knows why. Yeah, you don't know why. The hero is very good. He is always caring, courageous, chivalrous. He has valor, strength, honor, loyalty. Why? It just is like that. And the villain is very bad. He's a rascal. He should be put down. He should be cut down. He should be stopped. Why is he a villain? Well, you ought to have a villain in a good novel. So that won't satisfy the philosophical urge when people ask why. Srila Prabhupada's purports, if you read them properly, they urge you to ask the question, why it exists? And Srila Prabhupada encourages that. One should inquire, why this world exists? Is this world good? Some are nodding, some are not nodding, some are confused. Well, like there was a blast yesterday somewhere in India. If you happen to be there, then the world is bad. If you survive it, it's good. Or you are a in-betweener. So we don't have the answer to the question why the world exists by reading newspapers. They just tell us what happened. Or they tell us why it happened. But why happened? So and so is bad. And therefore they put a bomb. Why are they bad? Who made them bad? They themselves? So even the most satisfying of epics, as they are called, they don't answer the basic questions. And more important than that, when the evil is killed, what happens to him or her? Is it resolved? Does evil stay as it is? Or is it buried somewhere? And like nuclear radiation, it continues to radiate and catch someone else? So, to begin with, we are going to see a very simple, well, Krishna's pastimes are not simple in that sense, but a very sweet, short pastime which occurred in the life of Lord Krishna, one of the many wizards which Krishna had to confront. So let's begin. 10th canto, 7th chapter, the killing of the demon Trinavarta. This is the 18th verse. Although this chapter is called killing of the demon Trinavarta, first the destroying of the Shakata or the Shakatasur, the demon in the form of a cart that was described earlier. I'm reading from text 18. Ekada roham arudham lalayanti sutam sati. Ekada aroham arudham lalayanti sutam. Krishna is 1 year old. Now this is not true because Krishna himself says, Ajopisan avyayatma bhutanam ishwaropisan. I am never old, I am never born, never this. So then we should understand this is the pastime. This is a leela. Leela, what is the word for leela in the material world? There is no word for leela in the material world. Because in material world only the law of karma acts. Leela is free play of choice. There is freedom and there is choice. You may say, but I am free sometimes to do something and I do have a choice and the result is always bliss. Can you say that in your activities? I'm free to smoke. Sure, you find thousands of people doing that outside. Are they free not to get affected by lung cancer? No. The freedom to enjoy Maya is the freedom to be kicked by Maya also. Now you can say which leg she should choose or what part of your body. That's not real freedom. So leela is free play of choice where Krishna acts just because there are so many potencies which are helping him to act in that way. So Krishna is 1 year old and he behaves like a 1 year old. I mean, why should he not? Even if God is unborn, eternal, should he start philosophizing at the age of one? It spoils the leela and irritates his devotees who are with him. When Krishna showed his universal form, it confused Mother Yashoda. She got irritated. It was like you're drinking sweet lassi and suddenly there is a lump of salt. And oh, you can immediately discern from somebody's face, something wrong. So yeah, just a lump of salt came in between. So Krishna decides to go by the flow. Leela is something which flows. Lalayanti, Yashoda Devi, is patting her son. Lalayanti also means, Prabhupada explains in the purport, that mothers, they take their babies and they throw them up. And the baby is in the air, suspended for a split second. And again it falls in the mother's lap. And the baby giggles. And the mother also laughs. This is like enjoyment. This is lalayanti. That feeling. If you see photographs of kids in air, they are like, they don't know whether someone will catch me or not. Now, if you enjoy this, you should understand the root cause of this is because Mother Yashoda is to enjoy that with Krishna. So it's a simple village scene in Braj. Mother Yashoda is enjoying with her son, patting him and molly cuddling him or whatever. And then when she got him again, he felt heavier than, not just heavier than he was normally, she felt heavier than Bhumo Nidhaya Tam Gopi. She felt he's heavy like the planet Earth. Now, I don't know if anybody has any experience of feeling how heavy the planet Earth is. Atlas is a Greek hero, Atlas. And there are some cycles made in his honor in India. And you can see that person, just for the sake of reference. He's carrying the whole earth on him. Biceps are bulging, the veins are shown, arteries are about to explode. He has a heavy look on his face. And Prabhupada said, Krishna is not like that. Krishna says, Gama Vishyaja Bhutanam, I have entered into every planet. But that doesn't mean that when Krishna, in his expansion of Anantashesh, when he has to carry the universe, is groaning and straining. No. It's Leela. Effortlessly. Planets are floated, what to speak of small things. Whole planets are being floated in air practically. So Krishna actually appeared to be, as Shukadeva Goswami describes here, heavier than the earth. Krishna basically is heavier than the heaviest. Krishna is the est of all things. EST, lightest, heaviest, smartest, fastest, slowest, minutest, biggest. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end point of everything. So she felt something wrong. And what would a mother do? A simple village mother. She just kept him aside. It's too heavy. And Krishna was behaving normally. There was a reason. What is the reason? The reason is, Daityo namna trina vartaha kamsa bhutya pranoditaha. Kamsa was supplying a steady stream of Danavas, Asuras. Kamsa Bhrutya, this is mentioned here as text 20, is Kamsa's servant. I think in the Garga Samhita and Harivansh Puran, Vishnu Puran, many other Shastras, Kamsa's servants are mentioned, Putana, Bakasur. This is the different Bakasur from the Mahabharata Bakasur. This Bakasur was a Baka, a duck. Aghasur, a serpent, and Pralambasur, Vyomasur, all these big time, heavyweight, demoniac people who could change their form, as we see in Krishna Leela, they were all Kamsa's friends or Kamsa's servants. How did he make them servants? How did he make them friends? He didn't pay them anything. He caught hold of them, showed them his feast. Actually, to some, he actually pummeled them. He blasted them. That better you serve me or face death. This is how demoniacs make friends. This is how they control someone. Be there or else. So, we find that same situation in material world too. So, Kamsa had sent this Trinavarta Namna. Daityo namna trinavarta, Kamsa Bhrutya, a servant of Krishna, Chakravata Sarupena. What form he had chosen to come and punish Krishna or to actually kill Krishna? The form of a cyclone. Just last 2-3 days, there is some story of some cyclone hitting coast of America. In fact, in one state, the government had told people that if you don't evacuate, the emergency services of the government of that country is telling the people that if you don't evacuate within 48 hours, don't expect any help from us. Normally, you say you call yourself emergency, so then when we need, you should come. But man's progress has a limit. What is our emergency services? We can tell you in advance that please leave. That's all. Because it's a hurricane. You can't face it. You can't control it. You can't blast it. You can't wish it away. All you can do is leave. So this is Chakravat. Chakra is whirling. Vata is wind. Gokulam sarvama vrindvan Mushnams Chakshumshi Renubhi. Shukadeva Goswami describes Gokula. Gokul was visited by this kind of Chakravat, whirlwind. If you ask meteorologists what happened, they might say there's a low pressure area and then high pressure air comes there. And but this is serious. Suddenly, there was a big whirlwind. Sarvam avrindvan, everything became hazy at the beginning. Then everything became dark. Nothing could be seen. Mushnams is taking away chakshumshi, the power of vision. You could not even see yourself, what to speak of others. Krishna had become heavy so that his mother would keep him down, but suddenly he had become light again because he knew this demon has come to take me away. If he takes me from my mother's arms, she would be unnecessarily aggrieved. Why give her the trouble? So Krishna doesn't like to give his devotees unnecessary trouble. So therefore he became very light. As he was put down by his mother when she found him to be heavy. So easily he could be portable, carried away by the demon. And it is said here, Chakshumshi Renubhi, the sand particles covered the vision of the Brajavasis. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has analyzed all these demons in Krishna Leela, how they affect sadhakas in their bhakti seva as they begin to render service to Krishna. So he has classified Trinavarta as disloyal controversy. Controversy is there in Krishna Leela. Did Krishna eat mud? Yes. No. Is Krishna like this? Yes. No. That could be here and there, both ways. Because Krishna is not a limited person. So what is a disloyal controversy? And ISKCON has them, I think, one every 1.5 years or something. When we get bored of one, we choose the other. Did you come from here or did you come from there? Or what about this and what about that? The only result of these controversies is it divides devotees into various camps. Nothing practical comes out of it. Once it was a very nice explanation was given by a very senior disciple of Prabhupada, that when we come to a controversial point in the scriptures, and we say, oh, it says here, Ugrasen had 4 quadrillion bodyguards. I can't read this book any further. One devotee told this to Prabhupada, that he told to one professor that King Ugrasen had so many millions or billions. And the professor said, that is nonsense. I can't believe it. So Prabhupada was told by this disciple that he didn't agree to anything. He just stopped listening to me. So Prabhupada said, then preach something else. You preach according to your capacity to hold it. If someone says, you are teaching me all this, have you realized it? You should say, well, if you have, say yes. If not, say no. But I'm trying to. If in the material world, somebody can act as a philosopher and say, all I am aware of is my ignorance. And people say, wow, what a philosopher. Really, he's a great person. I mean, materialists do get their strokes of humility sometime or other. And they do say something like that. But if you ask Vaishnava philosophers, this is what they live every day. So disloyal controversies, they divide Vaishnavas. And you find that ultimately there was nothing to be gained from it. It doesn't affect my spiritual life one bit. So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur has, just yesterday we celebrated his appearance day. So it's very, very important. Of course, for the Brajavasis, when their vision was covered, it is also part of Leela. It is not that eternally Krishna becomes away from them or they start fighting amongst each other. So Krishna is now very light. Trinavarta came and he just took him away. Muhurtam abhavat goshtam rajasa tamasavritam sutam yashoda na pashyat tasmin nyastavati yataha. Muhurtam abhavat, for a moment, the whole of Vrindavan was overcast with dense darkness because of the dust storm. And Mother Yashoda was unable to find her son where she had placed him. She was just looking for him everywhere. ನಾಪಶ್ಚತ್ ಕಶ್ಚನ ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ಪರಂ ಚಾಪಿ ವಿಮೋಹಿತ ತೃಣಾವರ್ತ ನಿಸೃಷ್ಟಾಭಿ ಶರ್ಕರಾಭಿ ರೂಪದೃತ. ಶಿ ನೆವರ್ ನ್ಯೂ ದಟ್ ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ತೃಣಾವರ್ತ ಹೂ ಕೇಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಟುಕ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಅವೇ. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ ಟು ಹರ್? ಪೂರ್ ವುಮನ್, ಮೃತ ವತ್ಸಕ ಯಥಾ ಗೌ, ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಎ ಕೌ ವೆನ್ ಶೀಸ್ ಹರ್ ಸೀಸ್ ಹರ್ ಕಾಫ್ ಡೆಡ್, ಶಿ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಕೊಲ್ಯಾಪ್ಸಸ್. ಸೊ ಮದರ್ ಯಶೋದ ಕೊಲ್ಯಾಪ್ಸ್ಡ್. ಶಿ ವಾಸ್ ಟ್ರೆಂಬ್ಲಿಂಗ್, ಶಿ ವಾಸ್ ಕ್ರೈಯಿಂಗ್, ಶಿ ವಾಸ್ ಗ್ರೀವಿಂಗ್. ಲುಕಿಂಗ್ ಎಟ್ ಹರ್, ದ ಅದರ್ ಗೋಪೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಕ್ರೈ. ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ದಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಸಿಂಪಲ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಆಫ್ ಬ್ರಜವಾಸೀಸ್. ಇಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಮದರ್ ಯಶೋದ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಮೈಲಿಂಗ್, ದ ಗೋಪೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸ್ಮೈಲಿಂಗ್. ಇಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್, ಮದರ್ ಯಶೋದ ಇಸ್ ಅಗ್ರೀವ್ಡ್, ದೇ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಆರ್ ಗ್ರೀವ್ಡ್. ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ನೋ ಸೆಪರೇಟ್ ಪ್ಲೆಜರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ನೋ ಸೆಪರೇಟ್ ಪೇನ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೆಂಟರ್. ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಮೇನ್ಲಿ ಇಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ ಲೈಫ್. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ವೆನ್ Krishna is now in the grips of this demon? He put Krishna on his back. First big mistake. He was thinking, if I could easily take away this boy, he was light as a feather, and now I can carry him, I can just take him up, 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 and just throw him down to his death. That was the original plan. ತೃಣಾವರ್ತ ಶಾಂತರಯೋ ವಾತ್ಯಾರೂಪಧರೋ ಹರನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ನಭೋಗತೋ ಗಂತುಂ ನಾಶಕ್ರೋದ್ ಭುರಿ ಭಾರ ಭೃತ್. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಡನ್ಲಿ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಬಿಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಹೆವಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಸರ್ಪ್ರೈಸ್. ಬೈ ದ ಟೈಮ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಗ್ರಾಸ್ಡ್ ಹಿಸ್ ನೆಕ್, ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಅ ಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಬೇಬಿ. ನೋ ಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಬೇಬೀಸ್, ದೇ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಗ್ರಾಸ್ಡ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ವಿಚ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಗಿವ್ ದೆಮ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್, ಆಲ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಸಪೋಸ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಇಸ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಶೇಕ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಆಫ್. Do you know what is known as being taken for a ride? It's not a good experience. If somebody asks you, how much did you pay for that watch? You say, 600. Taken for a ride. That means that person cheated you. Trinavarta was someone who wanted to kill Krishna, and he took Krishna for a ride. But actually, Prabhupada explains here, Krishna enjoyed that ride. All the while, on the shoulder of Mother Yashoda, 1-year-old baby, just try to understand, on the shoulder of Mother Yashoda, kept here and all that, who is going to give him a pleasure resort type ride? You know, those big dunes and all those things they make, rollers, they give you that kind of experience, that thrill. At 200 kilometers an hour, you are falling down from something. The original is here. Here is Krishna who decided to use a demon for this joy ride. Prabhupada begins this very important purport by saying, here is a competition in a yogic power between Krishna and Trinavarta. There is always a yogic, there is always a competition between demons. Competition means material world in the true sense of the term. Spiritual life also, there is some kind of competition, but it is based on love. Competition means she or he is doing something nice and I want to bring that person down. That is competition. This purport also has something about siddhis. What is that? Let us begin with a Prabhupada story. One gentleman, a businessman from Calcutta, a Marwadi gentleman, asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, ye sab kaisa hua? He was referring to the many temples, the opulence which Prabhupada has. And Prabhupada's simple Hindi answer was, Haan udhar gaya, Hare Krishna kiya, ye sab log aaya, aur Bhagwan ne ye sab diya. It was simple. It was Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Prabhupada didn't call that something of a miracle, although he would say that I'm just blessed, so many people have come. Prabhupada's simple answer was, and you read Leelamrit, you ask those people, there are still some people living around, those devotees that interviewed those people, that did this Swami look like he was a very ambitious person? that he wanted big, huge temples, printing presses, vehicles, thousands of disciples, public appearances, TV appearances. No. Some of his disciples who joined in New York thought that this society of devotees is not going to go beyond, not just New York, beyond the Lower East Side of New York. To give a Bombay example, a Mumbai example, if somebody starts a spiritual society at Vasai, the Vasai Society of Devotees, and people there think that this is not going to go beyond this side. And if the spiritual teacher says, one day we should have a temple at Nariman Point, and they might say, ah, Guru Maharaj, but who's going to give us money? We are struggling at such a obscure place at North Bombay, and you want something in south of Bombay? So when Prabhupada said, I'm going to the west, he was already in the west, but in New York he said, I'm going to the west, that means San Francisco. Some disciples said, but why? We are here, and it's our moment is there. We are preaching. So when they registered, Prabhupada called it International Society. And one disciple is saying, where is the inter in this national program here? There is no international. Then the Montreal Central came up. So technically it was international, USA and Canada. Prabhupada had a big globe, rubber globe with the map. And one devotee's job was to put a dot wherever there would be a new center. And they would revolve it. Sometimes Prabhupada said, count the dots. How many we have? And one day Prabhupada triumphantly announced, we are bigger than the British Empire. The British Empire was half the world. And Prabhupada said, we are bigger than them. How did this happen? Suddenly there was some siddhi. First is, we are going to see what these siddhis are and whether devotees should go after them. The Shastras explain, Anima Mahima Lagima Prapti Ishita Vashita Prakamya Kama Vasaita. These are the commonly known eight kinds of siddhis. Anima, you can become smaller than the smallest. You can enter into stone and come out. Prabhupada said some yogis, they use this. They are in North India doing their morning sadhana, early morning. But they are in a rush hour. They are in a more than a hurry than some busy executives. Like an executive has to go to his head office, report here, visit the plant, visit a client, again come back for a evening program. But then he knows he's limited. But these yogis, they go, take a dip in the Ganga. Jai Jagannath Puri Dham ki. And they come up at Jagannath Puri. They again take a dip. Jai Dwarka Dhish ki. They come up at Dwarka. Then they go to Rameshwaram. And then they come back at their original place in North India. All within the morning program. They don't show this to anybody. They don't teach it to anyone. But they do it. So this is siddhi is available. Laghima. This is the siddhi used by our personality here, Trinavarta. Being lighter than the lightest. Prabhupada says you can touch the moon with your finger and come back. In the nectar of devotion. Anima, small. Mahima, big. You can, like Aghasur, a small serpent. Small serpent scares us away completely. What to speak of a serpent whose lower jaw touched the earth and upper jaw was in the clouds. Or Arishtasur, a big bull. Really the big bull. Not the ones you see in the stock markets, but the real huge demoniac variety. So they have these siddhis and they use them. Prapti, take something from somewhere. Now in Bombay, if somebody has traveled in local trains, you know that some people do have this prapti and you check your wallet and it's not there, your mobile and it's gone. But that's a prapti with a gross variety. Somebody has to actually use his hands. One person had a guru and someone told Prabhupada third hand version. Prabhupada tells in a conversation that this person came and told people in the room, what do you want? Tell me, what do you want? Someone said, pomegranates from Kabul. And he just put his hand. And there were pomegranates from Kabul. The branch was there. There were two leaves attached. And it looked like it was right now taken away from some garden. He didn't cheat and say that I made them. But how could he, sitting in Calcutta, take those things away? About Anima Siddhi, Prabhupada said there was a mad monk, a mad fellow, but he was living like a sadhu. And the police would, when they would get bored of not catching someone, put him in jail. And next day he would be eating green coconut pulp outside the jail. They tried very hard to put him in jail. And somehow he would come out. So he had this siddhi. But he was mad. Please understand that. That's very important. So, Ishita is manipulate. Ishita is manipulating the potencies of material nature. Sub-potencies. Not the full maya, of course. Vashita is hypnotism. Like sometimes you go and someone says that I am a traveler. I come from this country. You open this suitcase. I have this watch. I lost my money. And this watch, you can see it. It costs almost 5,000 rupees. But for you, and I need urgently somebody to make a call, I can give you only 500. You take it. You come back home. And then everybody says, where did you get this nice 50 rupees watch? And you say, what? And you know that. Normally, I would never take such a decision. But greed, lobha, or whatever, or this person's superior ability to control your mind, that is his hypnotism. Prakamya is, you can do anything, whatever you want. You can drink water and let the water come from your eyes. Kama vasata is the last limit. You can contradict nature. Vishwamitra Muni knew, of course, he was a great sage. How is the world created? So he said, Brahma creates it. He created a universe from a coconut. Just for the show of it. Now you understand, these are eight categories of siddhis. Do devotees have them? Or should devotees show them? Prabhupada was asked by someone, that Swamiji, do you have anything which can give somebody jhatka? Do you have that? Prabhupada said, see that wire going inside that socket? Pull it. Put your little finger in that. Put the switch on. You'll get much better, cheaper jhatkas. This is not for what we are here. But at the same time, as I would confess myself, that attraction for these siddhis, it continues, it exists. To be fair, some people, babas, gurus, maharajas, or avatars, whoever, the mundane variety, who show us these kind of eight siddhis, they look like the dullards of a wizard's academy. You know, some of the precipitate, those who never graduate, LLBs, Lord of Lost Benches of classrooms. So take a Satya Yuga Wizards Academy and those who are the real idiots. If they come in Kali Yuga, they become big babas. They show a watch or some show ash. I mean, at least there should be something useful if you produce. Of course, that watch you produce doesn't say made on the moon. Made in Rahu, made in Ketu, made in Vaikuntha or something. It says made in Switzerland. Obviously, this guy has pickpocketed it from someone. He's not made it for you. He's made it available for you. So therefore, why should we praise them as, and they become God because of that? I mean, Trinavarta would become their supreme personality, whatever, of these people. So the first thing is, there is competition in your mind when you have material siddhis. You want to show it off. Like one man ran from his village, came back after 12 years. They asked him, what did you do? He said, tomorrow morning I'm going to show you. The next day morning, he called all the villagers on the village river bank and he walked across the river and came back. Isn't it good? So one old man said, 25 paise worth. Good. He said, what do you mean 25 paise worth? 12 years it took me to learn this siddhi. He said, if I give 25 paise, the village boatman gladly carries me to the next bank. You save yours. That's all. Apart from saving your 25 naya paisa, this siddhi is not worth anything. But in this purport, those of you who are curious, you should read that. 10.7.26. Prabhupada says, devotees have the potential to show more. Devotees can show mystic yoga so powerful that a demon could not even dream of it.
Such a bold statement.
And then we check out our things, whether I can do something or... No, not the cheap variety. The cheap variety will make us compete with Krishna. Who are we in front of Krishna? When Brahma is saying, in front of you, I am like a small lamp. You are like the sun, I am like a small lamp. It's an insult. Like sometimes in Mumbai, we see in the April or May noonday sun, the electric lights are still on. And it looks so nonsensical. Of course, they might say they are testing or whatever. But what is the value of that lamp? Sometimes you need another lamp to see whether it is on or not. It's so feeble. When the sun is there, everything is so bright. So, Krishna is Yogeshwara. Sometimes Prabhupada would be very practical in his down-to-earth language. Giriraj Maharaj once talked of going for preaching, distributing books. It's in his Prabhupada memories. And he said, this man said, why can't one become God? Do you have anything in your process? Why can't one become God? And Prabhupada's very practical down-to-earth answer was, already one exists, he doesn't like competition. If you don't have one, the urge to have a personality who is good in all respects, supremely opulent, that is there. That's why Krishna exists. So Prabhupada just told him, tell him that there is already one God and doesn't encourage competition. Why should he? Of course, Krishna is not even like that. To his devotee, Krishna may make him more exalted than him. The gopis, this one-year-old baby, Krishna, another leela, they would make Krishna dance. Krishna's mother would tell him, your father is going out, bring his sandals. He would take those wooden sandals and place it on his head. Isn't that conceding that my father is superior to me? Of course. Sometimes the gopis would tell Krishna to lift something heavy like a table. And he would go. He would touch it. And he would just make a show of trying to exert his strength, but he could not. And that would put them into so much bliss. So, we had stopped the frame where Krishna has started becoming heavy. And that is what Trinavata is now finding out. Tamashmana manyamana atmana guru mattaya gale grihita utsrashtum nashaknod adbhuta arbhakam. He is now wondering, what was that baby I picked up? Adbhuta arbhakam. Gale grihita. He has caught his neck. Gala grahan nishcheshto daityo nirgata lochana. What happened? Krishna started squeezing his neck up there. At high altitude. And he choked. His breath was hindered. Eyes popped out of his socket. Their sockets. And he just... Tam antarikshat patitam shilayam. He was dead there. Not that he died afterwards. He was dead there. He fell down on a huge slab of stone. His limbs were thrown away here and there. And like something falls from such a great height, makes a big sound. Shukdeva Goswami compares it to how the demon Tripurasur, when he was brought down by the arrows of Lord Shiva, something like that. The demon fell down because of his weight, not because Krishna pulled him down. Krishna also fell from the same height. And what was Krishna doing when the gopis found him? He was laughing. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. So therefore, it is not that in Krishna Leela, we don't have magicians, we don't have wizards, those who can do unnatural things. But the most important factor, I'm referring to the question, why somebody is evil? And the answer is, because of evil association. Kamsa bhrutya. If you take the employment of a person like Kamsa, just for the higher benefits or better prospects, that makes you evil. Why was Kamsa evil? Because of his own lust, anger and greed. So the real enemy, as Krishna mentions to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Maha Ashano Maha Papma Vidya Enam Iha Vairinam. You should know, Arjun, that this lust is Maha Ashana. It has a big appetite. If you give little bit tidbits, it won't be satisfied. And Maha Papma. Somebody can't be satisfied by giving him lots and lots of things to eat. He says, okay, now you're satisfied. But this person is sinful. He's a cheat. Even after getting so many things, he won't say, yes, I'm satisfied. So the mundane heroes or the mundane stories which relate about the battle between good and bad, what does normally win? You might say, good, hopefully. Our currency note says Satyam eva jayate. What that Satyam is, nobody knows for sure. Because people feel there is no truth in this material world. There is no true love, there is no true friendship, there is no true loyalty. How can it be? So what is that truth which ultimately alone triumphs? It is the Param Satya. And just like Putana, Kamsa, Jarasandha, in fact, all the people, all the heroes who fought on the battlefield along with Arjun, they got killed, but they got liberated too. Putana became liberated. Trinavarta died at Krishna's hands. He gained liberation. So Krishna doesn't just tell stories of good and bad and the good ultimately triumphs. In fact, Narad Muni in an ecstatic state sometimes says, oh, these demons are so fortunate. They actually could see Krishna face to face. While we are not so fortunate, we have to think about him, we have to remember the Lord. Of course, that is also another ecstasy. But the fact is that when Trinavarta fell down, here it is what the gopis say. Aho batatyadbhutam esha rakshasa. Balo nivrittim gamito abhyagat puna himsra swapapena vihimsita khala sadhu samatvena bhayad vimuchyate. It is most astonishing that although this innocent child was taken away by the Rakshasa to be eaten, he has returned without being killed or even injured. Because this demon was envious, cruel and sinful, he has been killed for his own sinful activities. That's what happens in this world. Demons don't die because somebody curses them. Demons don't die because the Lord wants some to be killed. How can the Lord make one group of his associates as demons and one part of his amshas as godly? Krishna says, Udasinam Udasinam. I don't make you a demon or a devotee. You make yourself a demon or a devotee. In one place where I knew one person, he said, I like to walk around Bombay. And if I go to a street and there happens to be a bar, I say, thank the Lord, he has given me this opportunity. So now I should enjoy it. So he goes inside, does his nonsense. And if you ask him, why did he do that? Well, the Lord chose that day I took this left turn and there happened to be something like that. Now, it is not that your desire created that bar. That bar was there existing right from the beginning, but still you have a choice. There could be a dairy on the side of the bar and go and drink milk. Why you drink something else? That's where your initiative comes. Like some people say, why you people have, yesterday one devotee was telling me, why do you have four regulative principles? Why you have to chant something? It is so much like ritual. What people do outside is not ritual. But they feel, no, we are free. But this is not ritual. A blind ritual is something which you do without any understanding, which doesn't give any tangible benefit. Taking medicine is a ritual? No, it saves your life. You don't ask the doctor, why every day you are giving me green medicine? I like blue. Do you have blue variety? You take medicine to save your life. So similarly, we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Not because in a ritualistic way. Although if even chanted artificially, it gives benefit. But if something gives benefit, why not chant it in the proper way? And which brings us to the second part of our discussion today. A glimpse of the life of Namacharya Haridas Thakur. 500 years ago, during Lord Chaitanya's times, Hindu society, or what we know as Hindu society, was a very, very poor reflection, a perverted reflection of Vedic Varnashram Dharma. It was strictly segregated. It was ruled over by the Mughals and their vassals, their relations. Lord Chaitanya did not do anything to overturn it, because other acharyas also have proven that what political system exists doesn't do much for the benefit or the harm of the Krishna consciousness movement. If devotees want, they can preach anywhere. Like in Russia, devotees are preached in jails. There is a ISKCON prison ministry. And we look at them and say, oh, they are preaching to the prisoners. But we too are prisoners. We may be free prisoners. They may be prisoned prisoners. But prisoners we are. So Lord Chaitanya, in order to show a sterling example of how the holy name goes beyond whatever your birth is, what your background is, he chose Haridas. He was known as Namacharya Haridas Thakur later, as the authority on the chanting of the holy name. Born in a village called Buron or Budhon in today's Khulna district of Bangladesh, he was always engaged in chanting. When he came to a place on the bank of the Ganga called Fulia Gram, Advaita Acharya, who was the leader of the Vaishnavas there, immediately took so much delight in his association. They would always be together. And they would chant. Advaita Acharya was a very, very respectable Brahmana. Very respectable, from the topmost of the Brahmanical community. And then when he would relate, look at him, how he is chanting nicely the holy name. Some of the pious Brahmanas were very happy. How is it that you have so much relish for the holy name? And then the inevitable happened. Some envious complained to the Qazi, the magistrate, that one of your person is chanting our God's name. So he became doubly angry. Really? Not because it's like some of your people are taking our property, something like that. But he's already born in such an exalted state, much higher than this infidel Hindu population. Why should he stoop down low and chant their God's name? So while these people were sorting out the difference between this God, their God, our God, and my God can beat up your God kind of logic, they asked Haridas. The Qazi came and said, Haridas, Bhai, Chaitanya Bhagavat describes him, he affectionately addresses him as Bhai, Mere Bhai, you are my brother, why don't you chant Kalma instead of whatever you are doing? So Haridas Thakur said that the Supreme Lord is one. He said, I bow down to the illusory energy of the Lord, which causes you people to think there are two gods or three gods or four gods or different gods. Of course, this went completely like a bouncer over these people. They couldn't understand. The smartha, envious brahmanas were saying, you do whatever you like, but punish him. He cannot chant our God's name. That's all. And he said, okay, I am also going to punish you, but not for doing what they are saying, but for giving up my religion. So both were united for different purposes, but they were together. So the Qazi and the king, in conjunction, they said, he has wrongly utilized this great birth. The only thing that will help him is take his life here away. Baisha Bajare Bedi. There were 22 marketplaces, different things, selling different kinds of things. And the punishment was, just to show a lesson to everybody, that person would be beaten by Paika. That's the name given in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Abyssinian or Habshi, as they are known in India. Huge people from Abyssinia, today's Ethiopia. Their relations in India. They would always be the bodyguard. Very powerful. It was seen that a common criminal would not survive more than 3 or 4 marketplaces. That was their job. But this time the Qazi told them, now it's your job to see that he is killed. Otherwise, and they knew what otherwise meant, they would be killed. So as such, somebody would die in the 3rd or 4th marketplace. This time they were determined to show that. As they were beating him, some people say, oh, I can't see this sight. Someone came with some money and said, please take this money but leave him. Some people fainted. And surprisingly, Haridas Thakur kept on chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And finally the pikes, they shouted out, why don't you die? So that time Haridas Thakur almost awoke as if he was in some deep ecstasy. And he said, is that so? They said, if you don't die, we will die. They will kill us. Suddenly Haridas Thakur went in a mystic slumber, closed his eyes. His body was almost lifeless. So finally they announced that, yes, this criminal is now dead. What do we do with him? The Muslims said, he didn't follow our religion practically. Burn him. And then the envious smartha said, no. He's not pure. He's not born in our lineage. He doesn't have the Hindu blood in him or whatever. We won't give him a dignity of having a proper antisamskar, cremation. Throw him in the river. They both agreed, yes. That's the ultimate insult. Just let his body be eaten away by fish, rotted in the river. So they threw him. They all went back peacefully to their homes. And next day in the morning, they saw him chanting on the banks of the river. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It took this kind of miracle to convince the people that he is something. And then the magistrate and others decide the best policy is leave him alone. Our laws cannot touch him. Haridas once went to a prison house and there he saw prisoners, most of them unlawfully imprisoned. And he gave them ashirwad, thakao, stay where you are. And they were very morose. You mean to say, Haridas, we don't have any hopes of getting out? Why do you say thako, stay where you are? He said, no, I never give unwanted or useless blessings. I have no envy for anyone. And my blessings are like what I carry from the previous pure devotees, ultimately from the Supreme Lord. What I meant was, just see your consciousness now. You feel helpless. You feel nobody can help you. There is no question of sense gratification now. No amount of material thing will tempt you to do this or that. You are helplessly taking shelter of Krishna in this prison house. I said, stay in this consciousness. When they understood that, they were very blissful. Haridas Thakur, at the request of Advaita Acharya, stayed near him. Haridas Thakur was once given the Shraddha Patra. When Advaita Acharya performed the Tarpan ceremony, Shraddha Tarpan, that Bhoga, which is offered to Lord Vishnu, should now be offered to the senior most and most worthy Brahmana. And there are thousands of Brahmanas. Shraddha Bhojan is considered a delicacy, not to be missed any time. So you'll find that many Brahmanas very, very eager for a Shraddha Bhojan. Because that is how the norm is. You please your own forefathers by feeding the Brahmanas today. And there were thousands of Brahmanas outside. In front of them, Advaita Acharya said, feeding you is like feeding 10 million Brahmanas. So he made it very clear how much exalted he thinks of, what exalted position he has given him in his heart. And one day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the mystery behind Haridas Thakur actually surviving that ordeal, torture of 22 marketplaces. In the Sat Prahariya Leela, which went for Sat Prahar, or 22 hours practically, Lord Chaitanya showed his body, he bared his body, and said, Haridas, look on my back, look on my shoulders, what do you see? And he saw manifested the terrible lashings of that whip, which was carried by these pikers. Haridas was amazed. He says, you, my lord, you took all this torture on yourself? Why? He said, Haridas, when they started beating you, even before that, you had merged in the ocean of chanting the holy name. And me, I am non-different from the holy name. I have to come there when a devotee chants my name, especially you when you chant in such a pure way. So I enveloped your body with my own grace. So all the lashings were on my body. So this is how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed how Bhakta Vatsal he is. Haridas Thakur and Advaita Acharya were the two chief preachers of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party in Navadvip area. When Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Haridas Thakur could not bear separation. He also relocated to Jagannath Puri. But he would never go for darshan. He said, I am fallen. My janma is sinful. When devotees came from Navadvip and offered Mahaprabhu pranam, as they were coming one by one, all the great parties, Sankirtan parties and all the devotees from Srikhanda, from Kulinagram, all the different areas, on the terrace, Pratap Rudra Maharaj, when he was just about to be introduced to this beautiful Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya, he asked Kashi Mishra, his minister, who are these people? I have never seen so many effulgent people together. It's as if hundreds of suns have risen together. And he would say, that is Swarup Damodar, this is Chandrasekhar, this is so and so, this is so and so. And then he saw a lone figure very far away, prostrated on the street itself. And he said, who is that? He's not gotten up since the devotees started coming. And he said, and that is the crest jewel of Vaishnavas, Thakur Haridas, whom we call Namacharya. He said, why won't he come and introduce himself? He says, no, he will never come. He prefers to be so far behind. But then the Chaitanya Charitamrit says, every day Lord Chaitanya would bring the morning bhoga, which was offered to Jagannath as prasad for Namacharya Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur stayed in a place called Bakula, under a Bakula tree. Because he stayed there, it is called Siddha Bakula. And even today, devotees go for a pilgrimage and chant there. A whole chapter is devoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to that great event one of our paintings, the very end shows that. Lord Chaitanya would ask Haridas, what's the news? And Haridas Thakur would say that, my mind is quite sound. My body is quite sound, but my mind is very wicked. And my mind is becoming weaker and weaker every day. I am not able to chant my rounds. I think my mind is in a diseased condition. Prabhupada warns us, if we can't finish our basic vrata, nama vrata, for that day, you should consider your mind to be in a diseased condition. And not allow it to be remain diseased for a long time. Otherwise, it may choke up your bhakti lata creeper. Lord Chaitanya disagreed with him. He says, no, Haridas, it's not that your mind is diseased and your body is strong. Your body is becoming weaker and weaker due to old age and disease. And your mind is pure as crystal. He said, no, I don't feel like I'm doing my vrata properly. And one day he said, there is one thing which I want to ask you. Mahaprabhu said, what is that? I don't want to see that disgraceful day when you end your pastimes on this earth. And Mahaprabhu said, why do you think like that? Grant me one small boon. Let this worm-like existence be extinguished before that thing happens. Mahaprabhu said, you are very dear to Krishna. Krishna won't allow that. Haridas said, I am like a worm. If a worm dies or lives, does anyone take notice? No one notices that. So that particular day, he requested Lord Chaitanya's feet to be placed on his chest. His eyes, feeble due to old age, became like bumblebees, fixed on those lotus feet. Everybody nearby was induced to loudly chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. As the kirtan reached crescendo, the high point, Mahaprabhu realized that Haridas had already entered the eternal pastimes of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya started lamenting. He said, Krishna is most merciful, but Krishna's ways are most strange. He is most merciful, why? Because he gave me the association of Haridas. And why are Krishna's ways strange? Because he is Swarat, he is supremely independent. He has taken his association away from me. Now I am bereft of that. Lord Chaitanya picked up Haridas' body and began to dance on the banks, on the sandy shores of Jagannath Puri. He says, this is where we shall give him a proper samadhi. And this is where, incidentally, where we go to offer our respects. Lord Chaitanya has declared, this place is a holy place now. Anyone who comes here and chants will always be favored by Lord Krishna with pure devotion to his lotus feet. Many, many centuries later, Bhaktivinoda Thakur declared, he wrote there, he reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die. The Vaishnavas die to live, and while living, try to spread the holy name around. That is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur described him. He reasons ill who sees that Vaishnavas die when they are still living in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and while living, spread the holy name around. After the kirtan was over, Haridas Thakur was placed in samadhi. Lord Chaitanya went to the bazaar. He went to the shopkeepers. He was a sannyasi. He spread open his cloth and he said, today Krishna has accepted Haridas Thakur in his eternal pastimes. We want to serve a feast in his honor and I am here to beg something. Please give something. The shopkeepers, more than honored by this request from Mahaprabhu, gave mountains of food, prasadam, which was offered to Lord Jagannath. And then the Lord made all the devotees sit in rows. He had already put, Lord Chaitanya was personally serving, he had already put in every plate as much as 5 people could eat or could not eat. rather. And still Lord Chaitanya would say, serve more, serve more, serve more. Give that person that, Sabji, he likes it. How does Lord Chaitanya know? He's a super soul. He already knows that. So from one point of view, Vaishnav disappearance is not something to be lamented. But you see, is it not true that when someone leaves our association, we feel sad? Of course we feel sad. We have lost the chance to serve him or her. Unlike the mood which you see in the outside world, what will happen to me now? Who will take care of me? So it's an absolutely Krishna unconscious way of feeling that kind of separation from someone. Vaishnavas are not selfish. The only lament is, oh, I could have served that person more. I could have served him or her more. Knowing fully well that ultimately because of dedicating his or her life in Krishna's service, there is nothing but sugatim, good destination for each and everyone. Namacharya Chal Haridas Thakur Ki Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Nitai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. So I'd like to invite you. Any announcements? Now I'd like to invite all of you. Please join us in blissful kirtan commemorating the disappearance of Srila Haridas Thakur. Hare Krishna.